Or I got audio, but no video. That's okay.
What?
It's my
You gotta see me, too. You gotta see my expressions back. And... Oh, that's
his
very...
chest hair. You gotta see his chest hair.
Oh, God. I know, right? Definitely need that.
You're being too lackadaisical. Listen, dude, like we were saying before, like all the good stuff always, you know, remains on the cutting room floor. But I was at Walmart here in Miami, my favorite place to be, and there was a lady, really a young girl, very elegant, very nice, slender girl. And I'm walking, minding my business, because I don't like to, like, I go to Walmart to get what I need and I take off because I don't want to deal with the craziness. But she stopped me. Which is a no-no for me. You don't stop me. But she looks so nice. I guess that's why they hired her. And she said, "Sir, what internet provider?" Yeah, that's the sound. And she had a little bit of a German accent, but not quite. Anyways, so...
Hold on. German as in, like, angry German?
You are going to buy my cable now!
No, it could have...
Or like the gentle Fräulein...
Yeah, like a throw line,
James Bond villain.
But maybe it wasn't even German. Maybe it was more Dutch.
So you're going to piss off Willem Coulson, dude. We love you, Willem.
What?
We love you.
Or maybe it wasn't Dutch. Maybe it was like Norwegian or something. Well, anyway, she was very nice, and she said, "Hey, what internet provider?" And I looked at her and I said, "Listen, if you're... I don't mean to be mean, but I am a very tough sell, so I'll just tell you right off the bat, don't worry about me, I appreciate you taking the time, but it's not..." And dude, she hooked me. She said, "Oh, just tell me, what's your internet?" I said, "Okay, it's AT&T, and I hate them." And there was an AT&T guy right behind me and stuff, and because they were doing, like, they were trying to push, you know, Walmart allows for, I don't know what they do. So...
secondary vendors.
So she said you could do Comcast or Xfinity, mm-hmm. and we'll hook you up with this price for a year, and your speed will increase to, I don't know what. It was a great deal. What?
It's 50. The average residential speed is around 50 megabytes up, or sorry, down, and 10 up.
I could use that. So, and she said for 40 something bucks or 30 bucks, I don't know what the deal was. There was a deal. Mm-hmm. And it sounded good. But here was my worry. She said, "Oh, all you have to do is purchase a... you can rent or pay monthly for your router, mm-hmm. or you could buy one from here." Mm-hmm. But what... And at the time, I was like, "Listen, it sounds like really great, but I don't make rash decisions like that. So I take my time and, you know, usually... I never say yes right there and then, ever. To any, you know, ever."
Right.
I just don't do that. So,
oh, yeah.
So, she said, "Oh, well, just give me your phone number and I'll reach out to you and, you know, this and that." And I said, "Well, look, and she's a nice looking young lady." And I said, "Well, look, I don't like to give out my number because then propaganda, you know, just I don't do that." And she said, "Oh, well, just maybe you can give me your..." And I said, "Well, look, how about this? You give me your number, you know. And that way I can call. I'll call you if I'm interested." And she, the look on her face was like, "Whoa, my number? You know, it's okay for me to give her my number, but she don't want the opposite way is true, right?" And I was thinking, just totally business minded, you know. Although she was a very nice looking lady,
as you've said,
but as I've said like 20 times.
I mean, I'm like just like Rick, very Mayberry where I'm at.
You know, I'd be happier
small,
there.
Small town. It's got a little bit of a seedy underbelly, but more or less just which I think is becoming pretty common in small towns across America.
Is it in your front yard
and all that crap?
Is it in your front yard?
Is what,
like, can you go out in your front yard and point at a house and go, good guy, wank, good guy, wank, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't even have that.
Same with you?
Unless, Well, this may be one of those crazy things where if you can't think of your friend that's an it's you. You know what I mean? You're the dick in your group. That may be who I am. I don't know. I might be the one they go, oh, Jesus. That guy, you know? Oh, look, I got a beep. Yay. Another milestone for the podcast.
Seriously, though, we need a serious discussion here. What sound is going to be used to bleep out you guys' foul mouths? Because it's got to be something hilarious.
Now, listen, Mr. Bitters, I have heard you drop as well. All right. On that note, I don't know. I actually, when I did the Christmas thing, Jamie Page and I were in a chat, just the two of us. And he read a couple of lines off of it because he thought I was just playing around. But I was serious. Read this and I'll put it into my cut. And he dropped an F-bomb. So I went looking for a sound. And I have an Ooga horn, right? You guys familiar with that? Ooga!
Yeah.
So I have that. I have beeps. I have all kinds of stuff. Let me get into my audio here.
I like more like a wah-ah. Yeah. Like a little squishy whack-whack.
Yeah.
As opposed to Aurora.
Yeah. Well, I was just, that's the first thing that came to mind. I'm also thinking, uh-oh, you know, or uh-oh, something, I don't know.
Oh, he's going to bring back the ICQ?
Scratched. Everybody has a right to do their own, as long as it doesn't interfere with my life, and it don't.
Right.
So that, to me, it includes music, you know, and all that. It's to your discretion, right?
Now,
I mean, that's where I stand with that.
New York City, okay? There are artistic, and I am personally using that loosely, artistic displays in which most people would consider vile acts are performed. That's labeled as art. And again, knowing full well, I do a podcast on artists. I do stuff that's artistic. I know that is all about your interpretation of it, right?
I agree with that.
I
find it disgusting. What you just,
of course,
you just mentioned is freaking disgusting.
The way you said it, though, you're like, I agree with that.
Well,
like, I'm on board with that kind of art.
But when you break out the Tijuana donkey, no, I'm just kidding.
You see, that could miss. You see, I gotta watch. See, I could. Did you get the reason why I said it, or were you thinking, man, he's down with the?
I think we got it.
It's like that YouTube video, that commercial a long time ago where the guy lets one go in the car, and his buddies come into the car, and they're like, "There's chemistry here. Do you feel it?" And the gal in the back goes, "I felt it." Crazy. I love that stuff.
Well, do you remember that movie, the other guys with Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Do you remember, like, you never saw it?
No.
You gotta see that movie.
I'm diehard anti-Will Ferrell in anything. Cannot stand it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Just hate it. Hate Will Ferrell.
Well, that ruined it. I mean, there's a scene.
You got Ryan. Ryan's
there's a
good.
Scene. there's a scene where they steal his car, and like homeless people out on the docks had like wild sex there, like man love in there, and like he said, and then the guy that, I don't know what you call him, the inspector guy that comes in, and what do you call that guy that checks out a crime scene, whatever?
Investigator.
Crime
detective.
Scene. Investigator. He says, and we also found like donkey semen and I don't know what. It's just, the car, and there's cocaine, and like it was just like a matter of like an hour or two, the car was gone, and they had like wild orgies in there. It was just hilarious, dude.
Well, but apparently donkey semen is not where we draw the line.
I guess not.
Podcast so far. Yeah. So
let me move that bar just a little lower.
Anyway, continue.
No, that was it. I just, you know, but I want to know about Rick and these nightclubs in New York. What were you trying to get at with that?
I'm just saying there are folks that don't know the limit, right? We will draw, and again, it's like you were, when we were talking about setting this whole thing up, and you brought up that which must not ever be mentioned again for our name, okay? Because I don't want to go into a two-hour monologue about that. But when you brought that up, your whole point was we need to push a limit. We need to think beyond the boundaries. And I know why you were doing it. You wanted us to go way the heck out there and then come back somewhere in the middle between... Oh, Jesus, gravity. Between... for those of you who are listening, that was almost a coffee foul. Pretty bad. You were trying to draw us way out so we could come back to not quite that safe point, but not, you know, Clockwork Orange kind of craziness, right? Yeah, so I totally get it. And that is essentially what I was referring to, is that mentality. Listen, you're going to go to New York City. You're going to see two naked dudes laying on each other for 8.5 hours. Right? And that is art. You think I'm making this up?
Can you
up?
See his feed yet? Can you see his video yet?
Who's this, Eloy's? Because I'm not making that video. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. No way. That's like three strikes. You're out.
Who's making that video? Who's making that video? Not me. Come on.
Nope. Coward. Here. Thank you. But that's my point, right? You go way beyond that boundary of what is acceptable. And to the point where it's disgusting to a vast majority of people that can see that. But again, that may be what they're trying to get to. They're trying to get that, evoke that crazy, oh my God, you've just totally destroyed my Christian values horribly with what you've just shown me. And now I'm in danger of burning in hell, or, you know, whatever theology you ascribe to, right? No offense, Ryan. I don't have any.
But if you don't like it, why are you there? Why are you, you know,
I totally know.
Do you see what I
how
mean?
How do I know about
right.
it? Right. Right? Because there is that right. side that Eloy lurks in, right? In all of us.
No, that I'm not lurking. I'm not lurking in this New York under whoa, I said you can leave that out. I'm not lurking. There's no lurking going on.
No, that was a
Bam,
shot.
Don't use Eloy's lurking. Don't use Eloy's lurking in context of New York freaking like porn, live porn art.
Yeah.
No, Eloy will not lurk.
But seriously, right? Okay, so totally, almost not related, but related. Two schools of thought psychologically, right? Freud, all about sex and sexuality. Jung, behavioral, right? Is it part of you? Or is it...
Jung is good.
Is it something you latch on to, right? That's what we're talking about, essentially, right? Is this part of us? Have we always worn the fig leaf, right? Or is there something that we've become twisted with or by?
No, I think that's excellent. I think... I'm not sure... But the thought occurs. I think that we are a blank canvas at birth.
Okay.
And I think there's to suggest, but there are, you know what? It's a, what you just asked is actually kind of very difficult and mind-blowing.
Incredibly complex.
But for the most part, we are a blank slate. But there is what we know as DNA and all these things, and there's habits that occur. Like, you know, it's obvious that if you have freaking, you know, dark hair, you know, it comes from your ancestry and this and that. And so there's, and also personality stuff might be sort of passed on. But for that aside, we're a blank slate, and we get... You know, as we go, it starts filling up that book.
Yeah, everything around you shapes you and molds you into what you enjoy, how you act, mm-hmm. everything.
So what's happened to create that quote-unquote aberrant behavior, if you will, in those that right. seek the extreme and seek to shock?
And I think there will always be a big question mark on things like
that. Not to mention what Ryan brought up just now. Why are we drawn to it? Or some of us, right? And others are recoil. Oh, I should never see that. Oh, Now I have to go.
Right, but but my point was, if you don't like something like that, like for instance, I'm probably not going to be a fan of that.
Sure.
What you described. Sure. But if those people are, you know, whatever, like Eloy was saying, whatever, to each his own. If it's not something, you know, dastardly, and it's not affecting me, why do I even care?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, obviously, like you said, there's limits. I mean...
And some are further out than
obviously
others.
Obviously, we're not going to look at, like, I don't know, something way out there, like murder or something. We're not going to look at that and say, well, that's their view, you know, I just got to leave that alone. Of course, everybody's going to object to that.
Well, but, not necessarily.
No, well, you know right? what I mean, though. The
In majority, our last podcast, we talked about majority. A hangman. That was his profession. Okay.
Right.
So.
But like I'm saying, I lost my train of thought.
I'm good at that. I apologize. Some people are going to look at murder as acceptable.
Most people won't, though. In that setting, as an art setting. You know what I mean? No one's going to look at that and say, well, that's just...
So now we've moved on to snuff films.
You would... right.
8mm right. kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
Right.
No, I know where you're
but
going.
You get totally. What I'm saying, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, you're getting yeah. there. And okay. I think you nailed it right on the head. There are morally, socially, and all other lees, L-Y's, acceptable forms of entertainment. And you have to decide what your limit is. Right? Could be this right. podcast is a limit for someone. You know what I mean? At which point we blame Eloy.
Sure. No. Blame lurking Eloy.
In the dark.
No.
Shadowy areas no. of the soul.
We need a... Rick, you need to create some kind of a soundboard that you can play through. And
like where you're going with this.
Every time Eloy says something that is profound... Play that loop of him saying,
I'm not lurking, 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 lurking.
Hello, Clarice.
Shogun Jimmy had a conversation. We had a conversation once, and he went deep.
Yeah.
Like, deep.
Yeah, he does that.
He said that some people are here, because this is all with what you guys are saying. Some people are here to cause disruption, which is what Rick was saying, that their purpose is to stretch the bounds. Some people are here to conserve. Retain the structure of things. That's how they're programmed. If you think of us like computer programs, we might be computer to a certain degree. I mean, there's so many things
by
that
lizards,
could be.
Right?
Well, that's yeah.
I'm in the Matrix.
That's true.
And there's freaking lizard men everywhere.
I mean, I don't know, but yeah, he went deep into that, and he said that some people are programmed. No, he said we're all archetypes. And some of us are archetypes of destruction, others of rebirth, archetypes of this and that. Super awesome conversation.
Well, and it just... I tend to minimize, because it's easier to digest smaller chunks for me. So everything in this conversation revolves around behavior. Take it right back to... You said Quentin Tarantino earlier... Let's go all the way back to the beginning, right? Nature versus nurture. There are people in the world who are brought up in horrible, by our definition, horrible standards, okay? And some of these behaviors are acceptable. Your wife is your property. You can do with her as you please. Now you cross into this border where we're at, and that don't fly. In fact, there are women that I know, I can think of five off the top of my head, that would be eager to turn those tables and change your mind on that perspective. You know what I mean? So, again, that's nurture. On this side of the pond, that's not going to happen. But other side of the pond, other side of the world, there are cultures that still feel that way. And they come here and they do the things that they would normally do and not think twice of. That's an extreme, but that's an example. And we...
Because they're already programmed.
Right.
they're already programmed that way.
Right. Now, back it up a little bit more, okay? It's not like we don't have domestic violence issues here. Trust me. I can tell you, I've heard some really nasty stuff in my 911 career. It doesn't make it any more or less acceptable, but is that our nature? Is violence our nature?
You're saying because we're not really brought up in that same scenario.
We're not, but because it exists, are we innately capable of it?
So you're,
and we choose to suppress that part of us.
That
sure,
one.
I think so.
Yeah.
And
we could all three of us right here, we could all be frickin' mobsters, as an example, from the 1930s, whacking people left and we could be just complete psychopath. We could be we could be anything depending on where we started off.
Mm-hmm.
We started off, and there are differences on where we're in three different parts of the country. We do have slight differences amongst us, some more than other, but there are differences just for the fact that we grew up in a certain place. But there's another factor that we can't find with what you're saying, because there are people that develop really screwed up to my, and I think to all of our belief system, where maybe it's a mental thing, but like there's psychopaths out there, people that don't
Like he was saying, though, it kind of goes back to that nurture thing. How were you raised? What circumstances did you live through?
Yeah.
That's going to play major roles in...
There are certain things biologically that we are susceptible to just because of how we came about, right? Whether you're an evolutionist, whether you're a creationist, whether you're something in the middle, you can't deny the fact that we are animal and we are capable of being very base. Okay.
Very, very, very greedy in nature.
John Wayne Gacy, for example. Okay. Or Ted Bundy, for example. Right. Aberrant behavior. Behavior we do not look at as normal or acceptable.
H.H. Holmes built a freaking hotel.
Exactly. Exactly.
Massacre. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That is an interesting case study,
that's
by the way.
Thought.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is amazing. That dude was nuts. Got nothing on The Shining, that's for sure. But get those guys in a room, and does it become a competition? Well, I've eaten 42 little boys and stored them in a freezer, right? Or I stacked 37 bodies in the basement of my hotel, you know?
Have you guys seen American Psycho? Mm-mm.
Familiar enough with the story,
holy...
I didn't need to.
No, but you gotta see the movie, dude.
Why?
Dude, you haven't... Dude, I can't believe... Okay, I am so shocked by you guys of the movies you haven't seen. That I mean, I'm sure you could be shocked vice versa, too, but since I'm the one... Since I'm... You know, I gotta make this into a bigger deal than it is. but seriously. I am shocked, though, dude. American Psycho? You know the one, right? Where the guy... With the
Christian Bale, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen that one, though?
No, don't need to. Know the story.
I do not. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, it's just ultra psychopath. Part 2, which came out later, it's kind of stupid, but it has that awesome hot chick that I just totally love.
Oh,
she's from that 70s show.
Mila Kunis.
Her name is... Oh my goodness, she's so adorable. Her look, her eyes, her little cheekbones,
Mila,
her hair.
Kunis.
Eloy, getting off topic here.
Mila Kunis.
Yes, dude, she's so... I don't like her last name, but she's... Okay, sorry.
I love you.
What did I say? Did I say
no.
a bad word? Oh, because I was thinking it.
Good filter. Good use of your filter.
All right.
So in part 2, she's the psycho. But it's not as good as part 1. But anyways, I like it because she's in it. I don't know. All I can think of is Mila Kunis right now. I can't remember why I'm even saying... I can't even remember what the... Frick.
Ooh, filter number
two. You know
what?
Forget it.
You're getting like better.
Frick it.
Now you're becoming Alan.
You know, well, no, if you say frick, everybody knows the word.
Things all dickered.
Yeah, you can't say that and expect. That's not helping. If you say frick and dickered and all that, what you're basically putting in people's mind is the actual real word. When you beep a word out, you're actually, the people listening are saying, oh, he said, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
They can fill in the blanks.
They know.
'Tis true.
Let them.
So what's the point? Say the word.
Because some people aren't. Mind.
Some people aren't? Really?
Dude, all right. Everything has an opposite. Everything, right? If I want to say, there is someone who would never, and it goes back to what we've been talking about. There's someone out there who will just assume I said something benign.
Right.
Yeah, like what the bananas or what the dingleberries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. See? But I don't find it.
So you're saying
some people would find it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, I know it's not right. I know it's not right in context of, like, I was taught not to say bad words, but somehow that didn't stick, you know?
I don't think it does with
exactly.
most.
I know it didn't with me. Oh, my God. But,
okay, that brings up an interesting point. So if you're around people that you know don't use less than pleasant language in their eyes, do you censor yourself?
Yes.
I have to at work all the time.
Same here. Right. Or like if you're around kids or, you know.
I do.
Sometimes.
I do. I respect.
Depending on the kids, you know.
No, I'm very perceptive, you know, to my surroundings and the people. I think that's a social society type thing where we conform because, you know, in this scenario, we're supposed to behave in such a way.
But is that conforming or is that just being polite?
Both.
Is it depending on your mindset when you're filtering yourself?
I would say both. I think.
Well, it's like, go ahead.
I think if you know your surroundings and you know your audience, you know what's good and what's not. And if you don't know, you're going to go to the safer side until you feel that out. I'm comfortable around you guys and I can. Knowing what Ryan's stance is, right, and what he expects in his stuff, I know what I can do and what I can't. And when we're off mic or camera or whatever, then I can be me, but only to a point. Because, again, knowing Ryan's thresholds, at least I think I do, right? I don't know. Maybe I've exceeded that line. I don't know. You haven't acted like it.
No, you're good.
But I don't know.
No, but you know what, though? That also, and I hate to say this type of stuff, but that also attests to a person's level of perception, intelligence, to know, you know, how to gauge how much you spit out and or hold back in any given scenario with different people. It shows that one is considerate, you know, and mindful of others, right? So I think it's conforming to a degree, and it's also the other thing that you said, which I forgot. Right. Conforming and the other.
Here's a good example, I guess. We don't cuss that much, I guess, and like when I'm around people that do, it doesn't bother me. For example, you guys use it well. Do you know what I mean? It's not overly abundant. And me and Amy were just somewhere the other day. And there was this guy that, you know, the type that just think they're awesome and that everybody around them wants to hear what they're talking about. Every other word was something expletive. And it just makes you sound like a freaking idiot.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's ridiculous. And then there's some people that use it with good taste, you know how to throw it in to spice up a sentence or add emphasis to something. Yeah. You know, it has its place, but when you overuse it, you just sound like a complete moron.
Find something else to use. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's true.
And we all can do that.
You lower your... Oh, I can curse like a drunken sailor.
But on the other side of the coin, you know when not to. Yeah.
Right. And it's just trying to be polite and stuff, but you're right. If you curse too much, it's kind of like your intelligence level, like, you can't find words, so, I mean, not that you can, it's perceived like you're limited in what you can rap mm-hmm. about.
Sure.
But it may not be true. It may just be the perception, yeah. you know, that people
get. I think contextually, that makes sense. Because if you cut a snippet out of my life, there may be moments where I am pious and keeping the right tones and being very cooperative and, you know, pleasant. And then 20 minutes later, I am ripping somebody a new one, verbally, mentally, what have you, and using every expletive in the book, because trust me, I am capable of it. My wife will attest to that. The first time I was injured, the kids, we were at my old apartment before we moved in, and we were putting a new sink in the bathroom. I slipped off. I was using the tool that shouldn't have been used for that, but it's all I had, so be it. I slip off. I catch my index finger on the new sink, and it cut deep. And when I'm in pain, I lose all filters, period, end of story. I've been accused of inventing new words and putting things together that should never be put together. But, you know, if that was the only context you had, then that's what you're going to go off of, because it's all you got. What else are you going to do? 20 minutes later, that guy that's dropping F-bombs left and right and, you know, embarrassing you and making you uncomfortable, he could be a very eloquent public speaker and just out of context, you know?
Well, freaking awesome.
Scratched.
I'm an old guy. What happened to my life?
It's all right. Welcome to the 40s, yeah. Sir.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, you're right.
This is what I got to look forward to?
Oh, yeah. Just wait.
Listen, it sucks. The other night, dude, I watched a video, and I think it was like 5 years ago. I saw a Russian guy, and I think it was in the group or maybe somewhere on Facebook, and the Russian guy was a lawyer, and he said, screw it. I'm done with this bull. Baloney. What was that? You saw it?
Yeah. Oh. Lives out in the wilderness.
Yeah, he lives in a hobbit hole.
Yeah.
I was so... you know how there's images like or video and like you're so tempted because the title and the picture and you can't help but to watch it? You know, those golden eggs? So I was like, hobbit? Yeah. A Russian hobbit? Yeah. I thought it was going to be a guy with big feet. My mind just started going. I was like, I'm going to go check it out. And, dude, the guy totally left society. Yep. He lives in a hole in the... And he's got... Well, you saw it, right, Ryan? Did you see it, Rick?
No, I have not. But I've seen something like it.
Well, the guy's got... He's a Russian.
Okay.
He's got dreads and dreadlocks and everything. Yeah.
What?
He's got dreads. The guy's Rastafari.
Like a white and Bob Marley?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a badass, dude. He said, you know what? Screw it. And he's got a rabbit for a pet.
Yeah. Dude, it's like trained.
What? And he's trained. He's like, yeah, dude.
He like follows him around and
I need a
he's
link.
He's got a little library in his. He says, this is my library exchange section of my hobbit hole.
Somebody go through their history right now and send me a link. I want to see Russian Hobbit. I do.
Definitely have to put that in the show notes somewhere.
There's a PBS. Yeah, I will. There's a PBS primarily based video. A guy just in his 50s said, screw it, I'm going away. And he bought some land up in Alaska and built his home on his own by himself. He's got a draw knife and some really primitive tools and built his own home. This was back in the 60s. And he was
Dick
there.
Pernicate.
Thank you. Yeah. Alone in the wilderness. I watch that all the time. That dude was, unfortunately, he's gone. He was in that house, that little cabin he built, until his 90s. And the only reason he left is because it was impossible to stay in his condition. Otherwise, he would have kept on going.
Did you hear that beeping?
Yeah.
We can leave it in the show.
Yeah? All right.
You know what?
Sorry. Ooh, not leaving that.
No, it's just, I've got, there's, oh, dude. And sometimes it double beeps just to mess with me. I think it has a...
Because it's true, like, with you. It's okay.
Yeah. There's a camera that I gotta fix somewhere around here, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, before it beeped twice, is that what a way to end a beautiful saga with a stupid beeping closed circuit. I mean, you know, you're saying, and he's got a draw knife, and he moved up to, and he was 90, and
beep,
and then we have
beep,
a
beep, beep, beep. An R2 going off in the background.
Look.
It's all right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to disconnect all the cameras, I'm going to turn off the cameras, all of them, because that's pissing me off.
Funnily enough, mm-hmm. I don't know. This chat has been 5.5 hours.
I know. I know. I keep, every now and again, I'll get these end call messages, and when I click, I look up just reaction in 5 hours, 23 minutes, 44 seconds. That's hysterical.
Nuts.
Guess who's not beeping anymore?
Well, I'm hoping you're not going to beep.
No more beeping.
You just turned off your security, man. Better hope Vigo's doing the job.
No, he's actually, he's sleeping.
Yeah, that's his job.
How'd you pick the name Vigo?
Okay, so, Lord of the Rings, Vigo Mortensen.
Mortensen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if that was where you got it.
Yeah, dude, that movie, Lord of the Rings, I just love so much Tolkien. Not Tolkien.
No, Tolkien.
Tolkien.
J-R-R.
I love Tolkien. How many of you guys out there like Tolkien? I don't. Incidentally, I don't. No, I do.
Used to.
I like Tolkien.
I used to a lot. A lot.
No, I'm talking about Tolkien, like Tolkien, the author,
mm-hmm.
the linguist.
John Ronald Raoul Tolkien.
Yeah, dude, I love that. I love that. And, dude, you know what I love even more than the movie? The appendices.
Mm-hmm.
The backstory of how they made the, like, 5 hours of behind the scenes. I just play the DVD of the behind the scenes over and over, like, obsessive. Over and just watching how they make the feet, and I just love it, dude.
I read somewhere recently that they are trying to get the rights from Tolkien's estate to make, I always butcher it, Silmarillion.
That's it.
Silmarillion.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's the middle L messes me up.
That is going to be very difficult. Have you read it?
I have not.
Okay. Very quickly, because I can go hours on this, okay? The Silmarillion is the Bible. Literally, it is the Bible. You try to film, you know, Genesis to Revelation sometime. Have a ball. Let me know how that works out, because that's exactly what you're talking about doing with Silmarillion. It starts off with the creation and goes from there to just about 100 years before The Hobbit, which is the fourth, if you will, the fourth iteration of this society. It all started with elves, okay? Then the elves weren't enough, so these Ainur and Ainur, I think is how you say it, these creators created dwarves. But there was this problem between the dwarves and the elves. So you had one extreme versus the other. Not good and bad, just the differences were enough where the two races never saw eye to eye. So the elves went down, and the dwarves went down, and the elves stayed in the overworld. And that's how they left it. And that wasn't enough. So the gods create man. and elves and or halflings and things like that to try to fill those voids between the two races they had created, right? That's how deep the Silmarillion goes, and that's just the first chapter. Okay.
Right.
That's very awesome.
I heard it was going to be insane if they made it.
I don't know how they could. I don't know how they could.
I'm sure it would have to be in multiple installments.
Yeah. It would have to be.
From what I understand, the Tolkien estate doesn't like how Lord of the Rings turned out.
Christopher is the son.
They are against it.
I mean, Tolkien's been dead forever, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. As is his wife.
I mean, I don't think they did that bad of a job.
No, I don't think they did a bad job at all.
They butchered the Hobbit.
At all.
Right.
They butchered the Hobbit. Too much creative license.
But so what? It's a movie, dude. Look, all I want is to have the feeling of the adventure. It doesn't have to be to the T, unless you're obsessed with the movie, you know, the video, the book. I even forgot how to say book. I'm all video.
Have you read
books? Bird any books. Of it? What?
Have you read any of them? Okay.
No, I have the audiobook, though.
Once a year, every year, for 40 years, I would pick up The Hobbit and go right through the three books, which were originally supposed to be one, but because of paper shortages after World War II, they broke it up into three, okay, which Tolkien was never really happy about. Nonetheless, they did that. And when I needed back reference, because what's in the two towers is back view, backstory, history, things like that. It's a very dry read, right? But when you get through it, you get into the Return of the King, which Tolkien hated because it gave away the ending, okay? Right. But nonetheless, that's what they did. And you use the Silmarillion, much like we use the Bible. You can't pick it up and read it cover to cover. It's not a storyline. It's a conglomeration of historical fact. Now, let's just pull back for a minute. Let's do the 20,000-foot view of the entire Tolkien experience, right? This all was in his head.
Right.
His head. An entire universe, enough to create a Bible, is in this guy's head. Holy crap. Right? At that point, I went,
right.
I'm never going to write anything ever again. I used to write a lot. I haven't. I have this trilogy running around in my brain, and I have shelved it when I saw the Tolkien thing full scale. Because I didn't know the Silmarillion existed. It didn't until recently. Right. And when I say recently, I mean, you know, in first of the 90s, something like that. Right. Because The Hobbit's been around since the 30s, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He wrote it as a children's book and said, let's publish it, see what happens, right? So this was before, or just on the tail of World War I. Then World War II breaks out. And all the crap that he saw in World War I came back, and that spawned this extra story, The Lord of the Rings. And it backfilled what we learned in The Hobbit to a point, and then expanded that universe. And then he and his son Christopher got together before his death and compiled all these years of notes and ideas and everything else into a cohesive formula called the Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from. But again, one dude, all of it in his cranium. You know,
right?
How it didn't blow his head off his shoulders is amazing.
Let me say this: you said you have a trilogy in your head of your own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first I'd say, don't let that go by the wayside, and take that journey. If you would like to, I would encourage. That's one. And two, you know, like, I play guitar. And with the amount of guitarists and geniuses that have come. Hendrix, Clapton, all these, you know, it's enough to say why even everything that's been played, you know, everything's been played already,
mm-hmm.
right? Everything's been written. Everything's been like, so I take a different, I say, this is my version of, this is me, my world, you know.
I've killed it. It's dead. Sherry's read it. It's done. I never got, I got four chapters into book two and then realized, oh crap, I haven't filled anything. So I wrote three chapters of book one and never did more than storyboard book three. And I had it all on a floppy disk, which I transferred to our server downstairs. So it's still alive. It's still there. If I ever decide to pick it up, I can. I just don't think I'm going to. Right, because I want it to be Tolkien level. I don't think I can make it Tolkien level. You know what I mean? I just flat don't. You know, and if it doesn't get there, I'm that, in that regard anyway, I'm just like, it's not worth the effort. If I can't get it to that point, I don't even want to try. It'll just die with me, and so be it.
This is not necessarily applicable, you know, to the T, but I'll say this. Back in the 60s, there was the band Pink Floyd,
mm-hmm.
and one of the, you know, originators of that band was Syd Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've shared this with you guys before. Maybe I have. I don't know. And Syd Barrett was a very talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was out there.
Well, yeah, he was out there. Syd Barrett. And there's documentaries on him that mm-hmm. is well worth looking into.
Seen them all.
Syd Barrett documentary. Super incredibly, just, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen them, you know, in one of them, you might recall this. There's a part of a documentary where he was in college, and Syd used to take a lot of acid, and other. You know, recreational substances.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is that some people's psyches can be very fragile and break, and his was one. And he lost it. But in college, he had a roommate, and his roommate was a painter. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
And the roommate says on tape, on video, that when I looked at Syd, I thought to myself, you know, he'd be sitting in bed, on the floor was his bed, just all day long, not sleeping, but staring up at the ceiling, frozen. And that painter friend of him said, and I could only imagine what was going through his head, and I think it was this, and he said, Syd was probably thinking, if I sit here in this position, like, I have all the potential in the world. Everybody thinks I'm talented. Everybody thinks I'm this, that. But once I decide to do something, all my other possibilities have ended.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm now down one road. I'm on a journey. So all those other, if I can't be, I can't be singing if I'm painting. I can't be painting if I'm singing, you know. So once I make a decision, it kind of reduces or closes the door on everything else around me because I'm down that road.
Yep.
And so he thought, man, Syd's sitting there thinking, as long as I sit here and just stare at the ceiling, all possibilities are open to me. Everything is possible. You know, and that struck me when I... Do you remember that one from
yeah.
the documentary?
Yeah, that was certainly one interpretation, right? The other part was he's pretty batshit crazy already, and
yeah.
he was pretty fragile before the drugs came into place. Roger Waters is very clear about that. He was not the kid that took criticism very well. He was not the one that accepted fate very well because it was supposed to be this way, and that's sort of what led him into the experimental drugs and the things like that, because he couldn't deal with what was really happening. He never saw what a genius he really was. And to a certain extent, he was a genius without Waters, without Nick Mason, without Richard Wright. He was basically nothing, right? He really was. He was a driving force in the beginning. And when things went south, much like everything else in his life, it went way south. And he cracked. It went one weekend way too much LSD, and he was never the same person. It affected his personality. It affected his drive and everything like that. David Gilmour came into play when they were all about 14 or 15 years old. And they were hanging around, and David would step in reluctantly when Sid would go on these benders and disappear into whatever psychotic hell he was in at the time. And at the last straw, Richard Wright says, "He's out, you're in, let's go." And that was the way it was until 1984, when they officially broke up. And Roger Waters went his own way. Nick Mason and Richard Wright stayed on board. And there was a huge battle over who could do what songs and who could do Sid's songs, right? Because in the beginning, Sid wrote almost, what was it, close to 80% of what was out there, with a little bit yeah. more of Roger Waters coming in as time went on. And then yeah. when Dark Side of the Moon hit, there were big battles between Gilmour and Roger Waters about how it should be. Lunatics right. on the Grass is all about Sid Barrett. David Gilmour didn't want it. He thought it was too weird and too out there. Roger Waters wanted it because it's a tribute to Sid, and Sid's the reason all this happened. And yeah. Yeah. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
The thing, now that you say all that, he was pretty much crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, he lost it. But the other guys' story struck me because it made me think that if I'm sitting here thinking of, should I build a this, or should I make a that, or should I write a song, I could sit here all day and think of all the things that I could do, but if I don't take action, I mean, this is what I got from that when I saw that, and I found it to be useful for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Although in actuality, Sid was just totally wasted, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
But my interpretation that I got out of it is, get up and do something, like whatever, and do it regardless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of helped me out. I don't know why I said that, though.
Well, it's the inaction and letting something die on the vine that started with it. So.
Oh, because of your book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why I was saying it.
Yeah. So, but I've got a lot of things in my life like that, right?
Me too.
Here I am. I just happened to take action here, you know? Well, Ryan, and then I followed, you know? But in the other one, too. I wasn't going to take action until Alan was the catalyst. And then it got me chewing, you know?
But I think all creative minds are geared that way.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent. I wouldn't have thought of it on my own. And I wouldn't have done it.
No. I mean, as far as... gosh, man, I'm having a hard time tonight with making things click in my brain.
That's okay. It's late.
yeah, right. Like, you talk about having that, having your book.
Yeah.
And Eloy agrees there's things that you are into, and then you kind of put them on the back burner.
Yeah.
And move on to something else. Yeah. I do that with a lot of things.
Sure. Well, some of it's time, some of it's skill, some of it's, you know, reality kicks in, right? Can I really do this?
Right.
No. And you move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the creative process, knowing your limits, maybe?
Yeah. And to a certain extent, moving beyond them, right?
Sure, because, yeah. I mean, does the passion for that thing, that whatever object or idea or whatever, overcome that?
You overcome the ability? Oh, all the time with me. Yeah.
Right.
The stuff I want to make is well beyond my skill set, you know?
Right, yeah. But that's how the creative mind expands, and I know what I mean, but lips don't convey.
No, I get it. I'm making a little table that's in the shape of a bull,
mm-hmm.
and it's got like a little stand, or not stand, top, that's going to be a box. I'm going to paint the inside, I think, pink or some crazy color, but the rest of it is going to be black, and it's a bull, and it just sits, you know, it's like a strange, like a surreal sort of thing, and I'm thinking of cutting, it's two bulls, and there's going to be dowels connecting the two bulls, like the shape of the bulls, and in the center, I'm going to put that tabletop, or whatever, you know, like a box. You can put your coffee or whatever on top of it. It's a little side table.
Mm-hmm.
But since I cut out two bulls, they're the same shape, right? It's got two tails. It's okay that it's got two horns. It's okay that it's got four legs. The head is... it has two heads, but it has two tails. Should I cut... Should I leave it as two? Because you're only going to see it from the front if you come in from the side, but... Or should I cut the two tails, unite them, cut the head, leave the... I don't want to cut the head and leave the horns. Should I just stop talking?
No, because you're defining exactly what we've been talking about. Right. Now you're at indecision, which is another big one, right? Do I shit or get off the pot? Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. Do what you want to do.
Only you can answer that.
Yeah.
That was elegantly said. Should I shit or get off the pot?
Yeah. I prefer to get off the pot because my legs go numb.